Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Tuesday to you, everybody. We come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Big hour for you. We'll talk college football. SEC Media Days going on as we speak. Matt Stinchcomb's going to join us. College football analyst for ESPN, former All-American offensive lineman, former first-round draft pick of the Oakland Raiders. Matt will join us coming up here in about 17 minutes from now at 20 minutes past the hour. And later on in the hour, we'll talk to Josh Cuddly Bear Copeland, one of the heavyweight fighters for the PFL, Pro Fight League. The Cuddly Bear is going to join us here inside the studios of the Dog.
Puffiness with sodium.
We'll have to see. One thing we know is that Mraz is getting very puffy these days. This week he's in Hawaii with his beautiful wife, Danielle. And you can only imagine all of these salty treats and island foods that he is enjoying as we speak. So one thing we know when he comes back, puffiness will be at an all-time high. It's a Trash Tuesday, so definitely hit us up here on the phones because we'll get your trashings in at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Le'Veon Bell looks like he'll be on a one-year franchise tag yet again, as he and the Steelers failed to reach a long-term deal before that deadline. So another one-year deal for Le'Veon Bell, another franchise tag. And it sounds like because of the bad blood, Le'Veon says, or at least his agent says, I will not be a Steeler after this season. He is one of the most productive running backs ever when you add in his pass-catching abilities. In fact, since the merger of the AFL-NFL in 1970, he has more yards through fewer games than any player ever. Le'Veon Bell is the most productive player ever within 62 games played. He has nearly 8,000 total yards, 7,996, which beats Eric Dickerson's mark before him by about 150 yards. Now, let's be honest. A running back and offense is completely different in 2017 and 2018 than it was in 1970, 71, 1980, 81, 1990, 91. I mean, now, because offense is so productive, because the ball moves up and down the field so fluidly, because offenses put up so many yards and points through passing, it gives an inherent advantage to Le'Veon Bell in this category. But no matter what, generationally, historically, legacy-wise, how you look at it,
Le'Veon Bell is one of the most productive running backs ever through this point in his career. So if this means 2018 is the final year of Le'Veon with the Steelers, does it mean that the Steelers screwed up this contract? I would say no. I think the Steelers played this well, actually. And I think it's just the unfortunate truth for Le'Veon and guys at his position. Look, the Steelers took a guy that has been remarkably effective through the early part of his career and rode it. And they rode it for a number of years. He was taken in the second round of the 2013 draft, meaning that the Steelers got 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, and now we'll get 2018. That's six seasons. So think about it like this. Essentially, 4 years on the rookie contract and then two franchise tags. At which point, he'll be 27 years old next winter after the season. Guys, you get 6 years out of your running back that you draft at that level. Do you want to bet on him at ages 28, 29, and 30? The answer is no, which goes back to my feelings and my thoughts about Saquon Barkley. If you draft Saquon Barkley number two overall and he has Le'Veon Bell's career, that'd be great. But would you even want to sign him to a second long-term deal? The reality in football is you get your best out of a running back on the first deal, and then you don't want to give him that second contract long-term. And because of the way the CBA is, you can franchise tag him for 2 years. So you can get 6 years out of drafting a running back. He might not like it because he's not a long-term deal. He might threaten to hold out like Le'Veon did. But ultimately, if you get 6 years of control of a running back and then you just watch him sign somewhere else and bet that you're not going to get your money's worth because he's going to be 27, 28, 29 and you have used up all his bullets because he has run and caught for more yards than anybody else in NFL history through 62 games, you could make this argument. Le'Veon Bell has more wear and tear on him than anyone else in this amount of games played. He has run and caught for more yards than anybody. Now, Le'Veon, it's not like Earl Campbell. It's not like O.J. Simpson. It's not like guys that played in the 70s or the 80s where you're taking massive shots because you are grinding it up the middle, you're in all four downs of the goal line, you're smashing helmets that are not nearly as technologically as improved as now. It's a ground-based game. It's a trench warfare game. The punishment Earl Campbell took within his first 5 or 6 years is much higher than Le'Veon Bell. Bell's not a ground-and-pound, run-it-up-the-middle-on-fourth-and-one type running back. I totally get that. So it is not fair, I don't believe, realistically, to say there's more wear and tear on Le'Veon Bell than a guy like, say, Earl Campbell. But you do have to ask yourself, how long do you bet on the running back? Now, I think that Le'Veon is probably positioned pretty well to be productive beyond 27 years old, beyond the end of this season, because he's nimble, he's agile, he's patient. He's not a goal line back. He's a pass catcher, and you can still be productive. But again, at the running back position, like we talked about the Patriots betting on Gronk or somebody else to get rid of him a year early rather than a year late, I kind of think this is the way, the game plan to play if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers or anybody else with a running back negotiation. I think they played this right because guess what? Next winter, they could still re-sign him. He's under contract. They are under no responsibility to have to sign Le'Veon Bell to a long-term deal. We do this whole bit again in the winter next year after football season and the Steelers fork up then the long-term money? Yeah, maybe they burned a bridge with Le'Veon Bell and maybe he just wants to go anywhere else because he feels disrespected. But if they want to pay then, they can. And guess what? There's not going to be huge money on the open market for Bell. And the Steelers know it. And that's why they were willing to do this. It is a league where the pendulum has swung back a little bit towards the running back, the Todd Gurley's, the Saquon Barkley's. Okay, we'll draft them high, but this is the difference. Teams that draft those running backs are not assuming they'll get them on the second contract. They're saying, we'll draft them now, like Ezekiel Elliott, because we need help now. And Ezekiel Elliott has helped out the Cowboys incredibly well. And Todd Gurley last year, 1,300 yards. But guess why the Giants draft Saquon Barkley number two instead of a quarterback? Because their offensive line's not that good, because their quarterback is aging, and because they want to win again right away. They look at Saquon Barkley as an immediate fix right now. It's not drafting a quarterback where you then develop them and he doesn't start until year two, or he doesn't start until the end of year one, or maybe not even really take the reins until year two or year three. When you draft a running back high, you're going, you'll be in week one and you'll help us win games this year, your rookie season. So you are squeezing the juice from the orange as soon as you buy it. That's how these GMs are working the running back position. Nobody's out there going, yeah, we got to pay on the second contract for Le'Veon Bell or any running back. It's not going to be there for Zeke. It's not going to be there for Saquon Barkley. It's not going to be there for Le'Veon Bell. The same way it wasn't there for Adrian Peterson. The same way it's not there for running backs. It's not going to be there for Gurley. There'll be some money, but they're never going to be paid the way that wide receivers, quarterbacks, defensive linemen, and left tackles are. It's just not going to happen. And so I think that the Steelers did play this the right way. If Le'Veon has another 1,500 yards this year combined, or 1,800 yards combined, and they want to do the dance with him next winter, they can. But they didn't have to do it now. And if he wants to hold out for record number of money, go ahead and do it. Le'Veon, I don't think you're getting it next winter from anyone either. I think most, if not all, NFL teams are taking the tact of, we like running backs early in their career. We don't like them late. We don't want to bet on them. Young man's game. Not going to be money for a second contract for those guys. Which is weird, because you've got Tom Brady playing until he says he's going to be 45. You've got Aaron Rodgers saying he's going to play until he's 40. You've got wide receivers that can play really late in their career. Cornerbacks that can switch to safety. Medical treatment and health and science is better than it's ever been for football players. So guys, Drew Brees, you can play longer. Quarterbacks obviously different than other positions. But at a lot of positions, you can play longer than you used to be. But at the running back position, they're just not betting on that anymore. And you saw the fall of AP the last couple of years. GMs are just betting on that. When we come back here on the show, Matt Stinchcomb is going to join us. College football analyst for ESPN, former All-American offensive lineman. I'll ask him about the depressed market for running backs. And then also, it's SEC Media Days. That means college football's not far away. And that means we get to talk some ball. We'll do that coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The biggest stage possible. The DA Show.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
Oh, where's Sergio Dip in my life? It's almost football season. I need more Sergio Dip. The mothership. The biggest stage possible. It's football season on the DA Show. And it will have to be
one of the biggest stages possible.
Where's Sergio Dip? He dips, we dip. The player of the week brought to you by Granger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week, Bryce Harper. He went to the home run derby crown last night. All in all, Harper hitting 44 home runs last night, totaling 3.5 miles of distance. Four of the five longest home runs of the night, although not the furthest, but he had 2, 3, 4, 5. His furthest was 478 feet in front of the home crowd. Puts on the show. I loved watching it. I know he gets ripped quite a bit for lack of hustle. People don't like his swag or his attitude, but I think he's a great show. I really like watching him play. I really liked the show last night. I liked the sizzle last night. The player of the week brought to you by Granger. Delivering the products that keep your facility running is what Granger does best. They've even been doing it for 90 years. Visit Granger.com for whatever you need. Whenever you need it, Granger for the ones who get it done. Our next guest will help talk us through big SEC media days because it's right around the corner. Indeed, college football, the SEC, there's always drama. There's always talking points. There's always big personalities. And he knows that SEC, knows that conference well. He was a first-team All-American at the University of Georgia. He was a first-round draft pick of the Oakland Raiders. He is a college football analyst for ESPN and will be announcing the nominees for the All-State Good Works team. Matt Stinchcomb joins us this morning on the show. Matt, good morning.
Man, that was a dazzling introduction. I hope somebody taped that. Yeah. I can play that back to my kids at home so they can actually pay attention to what I tell them.
We will send that to you so that could be your outgoing voicemail message. What do you think?
That would be great, man.
How you been, buddy?
I've been good. I've been really, really good. It's been a fun summer. How about you? You've been staying busy, it seems.
I've been staying busy, and I love college football. And so even though I hate to see the summer months go by so quickly, I know that it means college football is right around the corner. And SEC Media Days are kind of one of those benchmarks now for the summer and knowing football's around the corner. And we've now had some major coaching changes this year in the SEC, one of which being Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo has, I don't want to say put a target on his back, but he's said, you know, there's things I'm changing for the Kevin Sumlin era. Do you think it'll be dramatically different, the results we see in College Station now with Jimbo at the helm?
You know, I think the biggest departure will be the color and decor in the head coach's office. I mean, I think that's been...
Not a nightclub anymore.
It's not a nightclub anymore. So, yeah, it's hard to say, obviously, going into this thing, what the impact will ultimately be. I do know this. Culturally, Coach Fisher is all ball. And he's a guy that's obviously very demanding. And that's not to say that Kevin Sumlin ran a loose ship. But by most, if not all, indications, there is going to be a distinct departure from what the previous approach was relative to what Coach Fisher's is. You know, he's kind of a harder line type of a guy. And when you look at the talent that is in College Station and is accessible there in the state of Texas, there's tremendous opportunity to get the raw materials it takes if it's reined in, if it's honed, if it's disciplined, if it's directed properly for really, really high achievement. You know, and I don't know that first-year excellence is always the best thing for new head coaches. You think of Kevin Sumlin. He is a first-year head coach for a team that is in its first year in a new conference, and they mess around and put together an unbelievable season with a Heisman Trophy winner as a freshman, no less, at quarterback. And was that an aberration? You know, was that an unnaturally high bar to have to chin in all the subsequent years? And did that color how his tenure unfolded? I think it probably did. All those things, obviously you want to win. You want to win now. But if you can sustain it, it's better. But it's hard to meet that promise, especially in this conference. I think it's a building year, and I think that Coach Fisher will be deliberate in that regard. He knows that the expectations are incredibly high. You can't lose games that you have to win, and you need to be competitive in the games that you hope to win, and then you build for year two.
I think it's a really good point. We've got Matt Stinchcomb joining us this morning on the show, ESPN college football analyst, SEC Network as well. How about Dan Mullen in Florida? You know, this is a guy that's got a really great mind for offense. And with the Gators, they've had great defense recently, but not great offense. Do you think Dan Mullen and the addition there in Gainesville is the right fit, the right hire, and can that elevate the Gators to being a perennial power team of the SEC even more so than they are?
I really liked the hire. And the reason I liked it more than maybe some, although I haven't heard it, you know, panned necessarily, but given the names that were getting slung around, Scott Frost, Chip Kelly, you know, both would have been, I think, very, very good hires. Scott Frost especially, given that he'd be driving right down the road from Orlando at his previous post at UCF. But Dan Mullen is a really good football coach, and the level of consistency that he was able to achieve at Mississippi State was unprecedented. But more than anything, he is as enthusiastic a head coach and as excited to be in that position as anyone we've seen in quite some time. He's embraced the expectations. He's lived the expectations. He's helped set the expectations that now exist and persist around that football program. And so because of that working knowledge, I think that he was a really, really good fit. Now, does that translate into outsized success in year one? I think we need to be realistic from a personnel standpoint. To have a huge question mark at quarterback coming into the season is never ideal. To be retooling someone on defense that I think from a depth standpoint can absorb some retooling but probably won't be frontline as good as it's been in previous years is going to be a challenge. You know, if Dan Mullen walked in there 2 years ago, then we'd be having a different conversation, mainly because of the strength of that defense from a personnel standpoint gives you breathing room on offense. I'm not certain that he'll have as much breathing room now on the defensive side of the ball to afford him the time that he'll need to get that offense up and running. That said, I think it's an eventuality, not a question mark. It's more of a when and not an if.
You know, it was a bizarre offseason in Knoxville and how the coaching change went down and the Greg Schiano storyline. And so that got ugly. But at the end of the day, I look at Jeremy Pruitt and go, you know, that might have been the best fit, the best hire. Did it end up working out for Tennessee, or do you think there will always be kind of a stench, if you will, on the process and the hire and what happened this offseason?
You know what? Ultimately, the process matters, but not as much as the result, right? And if you end up in the place that was optimal, even though it was a muddied and maybe misdirected process to get there, then so be it. And I do think that, you know, I'm with you, to land a guy like Jeremy Pruitt, no head coaching experience. We've seen other guys with no head coaching experience perform on a pretty high level. The guy in Athens, Georgia, being one of them who had a very similar career arc to that of Jeremy Pruitt. Kirby Smart cut his teeth, learned from not only Nick Saban, Pruitt even had the opportunity to coach for Jimbo Fisher. You know, went to Athens, coached under Mark Richt, who had a lot of sustained success there. You know, so he's familiar with that side of the conference, and he understands what different head coaches and their types of approaches, how they would go about tackling certain issues. So in that regard, the guy's pedigree is pretty strong. Whether or not it's the perfect hire is a different conversation entirely. The process itself, I think, needs to be independently evaluated from the ultimate result. Because if this guy wins games, do you want to replicate the process that helped you arrive at his hiring? Probably not. But ultimately, if he gets in there and he works out, then no one is going to pay attention to the fact that it was one of the most curious head coaching searches in recent history.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. Matt Stinchcomb joins us. We talk a little college football. Now, it's so cool because you were announcing the nominees for the 2018 All-State AFCA Good Works Team, which is the most prestigious off-field honor in college football, recognizes players for their commitment to community service And these are young men that aren't professionals yet, but they're young men that still do pretty amazing work in the community and really do have a heart in the right place so much of the time. It must be really cool to be around these guys and to understand what they've been doing, huh?
Yeah, it is. It really is. As much fun as it is to get to do what I do for the SEC Network and calling games and being in venue and being around these players, knowing that there is an entirely additional dimension to who they are beyond just what you can read on the stat page or a depth chart is perhaps one of the most encouraging elements of what I get to do. This and the National Good Works team's purpose is to make sure that that type of volunteerism, that type of community-mindedness, that selflessness that these young men are demonstrated is trumpeted and then hopefully emulated by others. And so this team recognizes the top 22, the most exemplary of what is an incredibly compelling group of young men, given what it is that they're doing and what little free time that they have, forfeiting their spring break from a recreational standpoint and organizing mission trips or taking their free time on their off days or in their bye weeks to build Habitat for Humanity homes or to even found their own nonprofits to help support a teammate with cancer. I mean, it's hard to capture the spirit and the heart that these kids demonstrate. And this is on top of their competing at the highest level in their chosen sport. So these kids are playing college football, yeah, and they're in classrooms and bettering themselves academically, but they're also demonstrating the types of people they really are, the human beings behind the face mask. And that's the whole point of this Good Works team, is to make sure that not only they get the recognition that they deserve, but also that others that might be considering it, to encourage them to do even more for their respective communities.
Very cool. Good news. Love that these dudes are doing that. It is so cool to hear about it. Glad that you're working with them. Awesome. 2018 All-State AFCA Good Works Team, the most prestigious off-field honor in college football, recognize these players for their commitment to the communities and those outside of football, which is just so cool. Matt Stinchcomb joining us here on the show. Matt, this was a lot of fun, man. Hopefully we can do this again, and I hope that the trout keep bite throughout the summer for you, buddy.
thanks, man. I appreciate that.
All right, bud. You be well.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Matt Stinchcomb joining us this morning here on the show. Never too early to talk a little college football, huh? When we come back, we've got Josh Cuddly Bear Copeland in studio, heavyweight fighter for the PFL, hanging out with us until the end of the hour. So stay right there. DA, CBS Sports Radio. Brad Heller has your headlines.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All the love, all the time here on the show. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for being with us. Remember, you can listen to us on your phone by downloading the CBS Sports app, radio.com app, or Apple Music. You can stream us on your phone, so listen to us that way. Also, watch us at watchda.com, as well as all across the CBS Sports Radio network. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you can save money switching to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all at geico.com. Our next guest is in town for big fight coming up this weekend. He's got a date at the Nassau Coliseum for PFL 4. We've talked about the Pro Fight League before. We've had guys here from the Pro Fight League in studio. It's such a cool concept. It is a regular season followed by a playoffs and a championship game, if you will, a championship bout to crown a title fight, or to crown a title winner, rather, and a champion in MMA. So instead of just building up one bout, instead this is a bracket, regular season, bracket for the tournament and postseason. And it's so cool. It's going on in the middle of their regular season right now. PFL 4 coming up this weekend in Long Island, New York, at Nassau County Coliseum. And joining us here on the show, getting ready to battle is Josh Copeland, best known as Cuddly Bear, going into this weekend's event. Josh, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great.
It's great to have you here. How you feeling?
Feeling good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm excited about this one.
I feel personally terrible for you because I grew up here around New York, not in New York City, but about an hour and a half away. But I know New York City well. I consider this my home, obviously. My family's from all around here. You're from Idaho and Arkansas, and we put you through New York City hellish traffic just to get here today. I mean, you know, it's not supposed to take an hour and a half to go 20 miles. I'm so sorry about that.
It is what it is.
That's not the way that it is in Salmon, Idaho, huh?
It's not. No, you can... You can make some good time here, there, and everywhere, that's for sure.
Yeah, you were just talking about off-air when we were discussing during the commercial break. You grew up in Idaho, then moved to Arkansas when you were about 6 years old. You still have family in Idaho and the surrounding area, Salmon, Idaho, where you grew up.
That's correct. Yeah, I've got family in Boise, Pocatello, and up in Salmon.
Which is amazing because, as I was talking to you, we are potentially going to go out to Boise sometime this football season to watch a game. We've got these amazing listeners on 93.1 The Ticket in Boise. They really want us to come out there and go to a Broncos game, and I really want to try to get this thing done. So we're trying to wrap so many things in there, but they've come out fast and furious, and really, I mean, now they're weighing in that the mayor might get involved, the city council. They're rolling out the red carpet for us. You got good people back in the state of Idaho.
Absolutely. That's, for me, there's nothing like small town. Good people actually care about you. They're not fake, you know, and that's what's fun about Idaho.
And you've hung out in Boise before, you were telling me.
I have, quite a bit.
Yeah, how is it?
Man, every time I'd always go around my birthday, so go hang out with my buddy Tony that lives there, and man, we'd always have such a good time.
It's the home of the potato, and we were discussing, I believe tater tots are delicious. We've had this controversy whether tater tots are actually the scraps of the potatoes, and kind of formulated, what do you think about tater tots? Pro or con? You up or down on them?
Oh, definitely up.
Yeah, you got to be up, right?
Absolutely.
A loaded tots when you have bacon bits on there and sour cream and cheese. How can you go wrong with that?
Doesn't get better.
I don't think you're allowed to eat that, though, this week, are you?
I am.
Yeah?
I'm a few pounds underweight.
Okay.
Doing a lot better than my opponent. So, man, Sean Jordan came in 20 pounds over.
Yeah.
So he's got 20 pounds to cut in a couple days, and
how the hell do you cut 20 pounds in a couple of days?
Man, that's better him than me, I'll say that.
Man, have you ever been in a situation where you have to cut that much weight in a short amount of time?
Not that much, but earlier on in my career, I'd have guys that would say, oh, I'll fight Josh, but not at 265. Well, he's got to come down to 240 or something like that.
Yeah. You know,
if they were a smaller heavyweight. So there was twice in my career that I actually had to cut weight, but I'd always diet and be smart and never 20 pounds in 2 days, though.
Yeah, that's rough. We got Josh Cuddly Bear Copeland from the PFL Pro Fighters League joining us here in studio. And the nickname's amazing. And I've read some anecdotes about how you got the nickname, but I want it from the horse's mouth. How did you come up with Cuddly Bear?
Man, for me, I always wanted something that represented me.
Yeah.
And if anyone who meets me, it's there's so much more to me than just being a fighter. So, yeah, I mean, it's not the most interesting story, but driving back from wrestling practice one day with Trevor Whitman, he told me, he's like, Josh, we got to come up with a nickname for you. And honestly, you got to have one just because when earlier fighting on, I was called anything from the juggernaut to just some crazy names. And I'm like, man, those really don't fit me and my personality. So yeah. I agreed with them. And I'm the type of person, I don't want to just come up with my own nickname. So with Trevor, I told him every time I'd get on the mat with Alvin Robinson, he'd always say, oh, here comes the bear. And I told Trevor, I don't really like the bear. It sounds a little too mean. I'm more like a cuddly bear. And Trevor just started laughing. He's like, oh, that's it. So for me, it's been fun. It's something that that adults can have fun with, laugh at. And I don't know if you've ever seen my cuddly bear T-shirt. And stuff.
I love it.
Yeah, and vice versa. The kids get to wear it. They wear it to school, do this and that. And it's been just a good little universal It doesn't matter how old you are. Everyone's rocking it.
So. Yeah, it's so great. I love it as well. It is so notable. It's so memorable. And it's funny because, you know, if you're listening to you right now, you're probably like, boy, this guy sounds pretty nice to be a professional fighter. This guy doesn't sound like he would rip my guts out and smash my face into the octagon, you know, wall. But your background, you were starting to be in the ministry, right? I mean, you were looking at a career in religion. And so that's your background. You're not the normal tear your head off kind of guy that's trying to get aggression out of the octagon, are you?
I'm not. The funny story, I was chatting with one of the fighters last night, and he was saying, oh, everyone's got their past. And he's like, before I met you, I used to fight out of aggression and this and that. And he's like, now I can see it can actually be just more like a sport and whatnot. And I told him, I'm like, man, it's weird for me because I don't really have a rough past. You know, I grew up, and the crazy thing is I grew up not being a fighter. I remember in sixth grade, first time a guy punched me in the face, I remember in my mind, everything inside me said, protect yourself. But I was literally scared stiff. I remember I couldn't even lift up my hands. And to me, it's pretty crazy I'm doing what I am today for a profession, you know. And it's like you said, I went off to school for youth ministry, and I just want to give back, you know. And it's my joy getting to love and encourage people and just push them towards something better in life. So it's kind of definitely a fun story, you know, definitely different than a lot of people.
Are you using combat sports and MMA to try to push people in a positive direction, or does that come separately outside of your fighting career?
No, I would say I use it for sure. Last year I got to go speak 18 different times to different junior highs and high schools from Oklahoma, Arkansas, and North Carolina. And for me, it was just fun. And my entire message is how anyone who meets me, yeah, I might be a big guy, but the average heavyweight in the UFC is 6'4". I'm 6 foot. You know, I'm not the tallest. I'm not the longest, the strongest, or the fastest. And for me, it's just fun being able to encourage kids that, hey, if you don't stop, whatever your dreams, whatever your passions are, don't stop. It's amazing what you can accomplish if you just continue to plug away. So especially coming from small towns from Idaho to Arkansas, just podunk towns, and being able to come out here and compete with some of the best in the world, I'm a true testimony to what can happen if we don't quit.
What would happen if somebody tried to punch you in the face now?
Right, like...
Yeah, like if I tried to punch you in the face.
It'd probably hurt my feelings.
Would you protect yourself, or would you then punch me in the face?
No, I wouldn't hit you. I'd just...
Because I would die.
I'd cuddle you and ask for some help.
It's funny because sometimes when I'm sure if you're ever out and there's a tough guy that hears that you're a professional fighter, he might want to challenge you, especially if guys in your profession are out at bars or, you know, guys get a little drunk and happy. And I always hear that, you know, people want to challenge you guys, and I always think that that's so stupid. But do you ever get that? Somebody goes, oh, I'd like to fight you.
Man, I'll say the funny thing for me is I've heard so many stories like that, and so many of my friends it's happened to, but it's never happened to me. I'm the type of person, I look at someone, if there's some big tough guy, just look at him, smile, go, you know. And for me, it's tough to be mad at someone when they smile at you and, hey, how's your day? You know, it's
yeah.
Funny.
Yeah. Well, this is a huge bout that you have coming up this week in PFL 4, which is in Long Island at Nassau County Coliseum. You can get tickets right now. Go online, pflmma.com. That's pflmma.com. That's got all of your viewing abilities as well. NBC Sports Network is all over you guys, which is great. The fights are carried there. PFL coming this weekend in Long Island. Then August the 2nd, Long Island as well. Atlantic City, August the 16th. But this is kind of do or die for you. You've got about 30, 40 seconds left. It's a big one for you. How do you feel going in? How do you feel going into this weekend?
Man, I feel great. Fighting Sean Jordan, top 30 ranked guy in the world. Man, I think we match up well. And one way or another, I there's no doubt it's going to be a crowd pleaser.
And this is to try to get to the playoffs.
It is.
And this is for, at the end, $10 million on the line.
There it is.
And that's a big deal.
Yes.
And even if you're a cuddly bear, there's a lot of things you could buy with $10 million.
There is. That's why I ask everyone to keep their fingers crossed.
That would buy a lot of cuddly bear t-shirts.
It would, yeah. And the possibilities are endless there.
You know, I know you want to spread a lot of joy and motivation and goodness in the world through fighting. $10 million spreads a lot of joy as well, you know?
It does.
Especially for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. For me, I'm a giver, though. I like to see people happy.
So cool, man. This is great. Josh Cuddly Bear Copeland, heavyweight fighter for PFL. They are going to be fighting Nassau County Coliseum this week in PFL 4. Go online, PFLMMA.com, for the information. PFLMMA.com for tickets, viewing abilities, television, TV numbers and channels and times and everything like that. So it's great, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
So cool.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.